We're joined to talk about it by Peter Cardillo. He is Chief Market Economist at Spartan Capital and rejoins us here on Business for Breakfast. Peter, good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be back. Good morning to you.
Hey, it's great to talk with you. So let's talk about this trade news. We're going to delve into the trade issue with our next guest in the next segment. But what do you make of this development and its impact potentially on the markets?
Well, look, you know, I think that the fact that the tariffs so far are beginning to hit both countries, the United States and China as well, and we saw that in some of the economic news that we got out of China overnight. And I think that's probably going to prompt the both nations to restart these talks and try to come to some sort of an agreement, which would be obviously quite positive. But, you know, we're seeing the effects of the tariffs hit home. We've seen them hit corporate America. Some of the earnings releases have been hindered by that. We've seen worries by executives. And, of course, the big thing is that we're beginning to see it now in consumers, in the consumer price in the consumer price structure. That means it's beginning to hit consumers as well. Prices are going up because of that. So I think we're beginning to see perhaps more movement and less of a vivacious move by President Trump regarding the trade issues. We saw yesterday Trump perhaps relax a little bit his stand towards Iran, saying that he's willing to meet with them. And that's the reason why we're seeing oil prices today under pressure. So I think what we're seeing in the market is a bit of a ray of hope. But of course, you can see that the advance is somewhat limited. We see a upward movement after several days of strong declines in NASDAQ, which probably is due maybe to some bargain hunting. And we're seeing the rest of the market basically doing well, but certainly not going up in any real strong way. And that's because there are things that events that we're going to have to confront over the next month, and that is, of course, the Feds tomorrow will have an announcement. Their announcement probably will be that there is no hike in rates at this time, but a hawkish statement that will indicate that they will continue to raise rates, and most likely two more times this year. So that's a big deal for the market. And, of course, you know, the direction of the trade talks during the month of August, and, of course, the possibility perhaps of the president meeting or arranging a meeting with the president of Iran. So these are the events that the market will be looking at. Earnings, of course, will begin to wind down over the next 2 or 3 weeks. And so the market is going to hang its hat on the macro news, which, by the way, today we had a string of macro indicators, and they were all strong. So that's good news for the economy. But the trade worries, I think, are probably going to keep the market in a jittery mode during the month of August.
Speaking of just economic data, one soft data point that's being reported now is that consumer confidence hit 127.4 in July versus an estimate of 126.5. So that's a good little sign there. I know you can't get very specific, but what's your overall assessment for this earnings season up to this point?
So far, pretty good. But again, you know, look, if you look at the some of the companies that were hard hit, and they were hard hit, like Whirlpool, obviously, due to the tariffs. And, you know, I guess that was somewhat expected. But in general, earnings haven't been bad at all.
Yeah, and that's really the interesting focus here, of course, is earnings. I mean, that's the bread and butter of stock investing, because you're going to be investing in stocks, or you have funds that you invest in that are investing in individual stocks. I mean, that's how the game is played, so to speak. But what I think is intriguing is that, you know, the strength of the earnings has kind of helped to keep the market from going into further deeply red territory, despite the tariffs and other concerns like that, some other weaknesses. The earnings has kind of helped to buoy the market. At least that's what it seems like to me.
Well, there's no question that, you know, the fundamental of the stock market is, of course, earnings. And that's directly tied to economic expansion. So if you have a good economy and you don't have runaway inflation, the bottom line is you're going to have good earnings. And if you have good earnings, you're going to have a higher stock market. But again, you know, the potentials of a full-blown trade war obviously is not only negative on the economy, but certainly negative on corporate earnings if we were to get into a full-blown trade war. So that is the fear factor. And as I said before, perhaps, maybe, we can see a softening of this trade position by the administration, and perhaps work out some sort of a deal. Look, we saw that with Europe last week when Juncker came to the United States, the EU president. Basically, there was no real deal signed, but there was the beginning of a process that perhaps could lead to a sort of free trade without barriers and without tariffs. And so what happened? The markets took that to be a starting point, and the market reacted in a good way. So it brings us back to the point that tariffs are not good for the economy, and if you get into a full-blown trade war, you're going to pay the consequences. And I must say, I think that perhaps Mr. Trump, President Trump, I should say, is finally beginning to see that it's not an easy win, and that there are consequences. So I kind of suspect if he wants to avoid unwinding the tax cuts, which have certainly contributed to economic growth, then he has to take a softer position. And I kind of suspect that maybe that might be in the works.
It's interesting that you express the sentiments that way, very much which I share. But the argument that I'll just throw this at you is that, and I expect this from our next guest to present this argument, is that the tariffs themselves are actually putting more pressure on the other countries than on the United States. And that's why they're coming to the table, and the EU was willing to engage in these more substantive talks and to make agree to a few terms, and why China's coming back to the table. The argument goes that the tariffs are working in that regard as a negotiation tactic. They may be hurting some folks in America, but that's short-lived, because we are winning the trade war. And the fact that we had the EU tacit, at least tone-improving agreement last Wednesday, and the talks potentially reopening with China are indications of that, and people, including investors, should be more positive about this than negative.
Well, I would rebuff that by saying, yes, there are certain countries that certainly can't hold out for a long period of time. And, of course, I would imagine, without going and naming individual countries, I would say that the EU, fits that script. However, China, on the other hand, while it would definitely suffer the consequences more than we would, they have various tools. And those tools are simply this. They own a lot of treasury paper, and they own a lot of U.S. dollars. And so they could complicate matters. And remember, they're not that free of an economy. And so their economy is somewhat controlled.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. That is, those are some good points there. Again, Peter Cardillo is our guest from Spartan Capital here on Business for Breakfast. Talk to us a little bit more about what you're noticing with oil. You mentioned Iran and President Trump's willingness to negotiate, to go to the table without any preconditions from Rouhani or the Ayatollah in Iran. Oil right now at $68.90. It's down $1.23 so far this morning.
Well, you know, look, one of the reasons why oil prices went close to $80, and I'm referring to Brent, and we saw, what, 73, 75 for WTI here in New York, was the fact that President Trump pulled out of the Iran deal. So he basically created that strong upward move that we had. Now, that's not to say that the market was not healing. The market was healing. And as you can see, demand remains quite strong, and the market is now has now rebalanced. So the demand and supply factor is no longer a negative factor for the oil market. But that in itself probably would have kept oil prices somewhere between 60 and 65. So now we saw this spike all the way up. And of course, you know, as I said, that was due to President Trump pulling out of the Iran deal, looking to get a better one. And obviously, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing if he could get a better deal. But in the same token, when he saw when prices went up to the mid 70s and close to $80, obviously that's a negative. A potential negative for the economy. And so he began to talk, at least try to talk the price of oil down. And then, of course, what yesterday's comments, I think, you know, he sort of used that as a selling point for the market. And lo and behold, we've come down under $70, which obviously is working in his favor. But from a fundamental viewpoint, the price of oil, I think, is going to remain strong. Now, that doesn't mean we can't get down to 65 or 67, something like that. We probably could if Mr. Trump and the Iranian leader do agree to iron out their differences and come up with some sort of a new deal. Then obviously, you know, we would see softer oil prices, but I don't think we're going to see prices that would collapse. By no means. The world economy is doing pretty good. The demand factor is there. And so it's a fundamental plus right now. Now, if no deal can be struck between Iran and the United States, then the chances of oil prices going back to $80 plus $80, I think, are greater now than ever.
So I want to shift gears here to something else that we've been following. The Treasury yields, 10-year yield at 2.96% right now, the 2-year yield at 2.673%. The flattening yield curve, of course, drawing a lot of attention. Some folks point to the fact that if there's an inversion that takes place where the 2-year yield becomes higher than the 10-year yield, then that could be a predicting factor for a potential recession on the horizon. What's your take on the prospect or possibility of the continuing flattening of the yield curve and potentially an inversion, and what that might mean for investors?
Well, you know, the yield curve has been a puzzling one. And I think in part that's due to what we just spoke about a few minutes ago about China having some tools. I mean, even though there's no solid proof of this, but I think that China has been selling dollars because it's been weakening its yuan, and I think it's been selling some treasuries. And that's what caused the blip up from two on the 10-year from 282, 283 to 3 just the other day. And that's why I referred to the fact that China has some tools in their shed that they could fight the trade war a bit longer than most other countries. And so the question, the real question is it pointing to recession, or is this a technical factor being maneuvered by the Chinese? I would say right now it's not pointing to a recession, and I think it's more to what we just spoke about. The only way I see that being really a problem is if we get into a full-blown trade war and that trade war persists for a period of time, a longer period of time, I should say, then I would say, yes, it's pointing to a recession. But for now, I don't think so.
It'll certainly be interesting to watch that indication, that indicator for a potential recession and what happens, especially as the trade war kind of brews and we start wondering what's going to happen next and so on and so forth. We are in the month of July, cut off today. You get to August. Any thoughts on what, if there's anything else that we might pay attention to for the month of August, any tendencies in history that might crop up in the next month? What are your thoughts on August?
Well, I think August is probably going to follow the traditions of the summer months, especially August, more so than July. I think that unless we see a turnaround in the trade war, by that I mean, you know, perhaps maybe some real concrete, solid talks between Europe and, most important, China, I think those concerns are going to linger. And so I kind of think it's going to be a defensive market. By that I mean you're not going to fall apart, but I don't think you're going to see any major movement to the upside. Probably a confined trading market, which would be a confined trading range. And so I don't expect much. I do expect the economic data to continue well. I do expect the Fed to remain on a hawkish view. And I expect that we'll probably see oil prices not trade too far lower from where we are now.
Peter Cardillo is Chief Market Economist at Spartan Capital, and always a pleasure to talk with you, Peter. Got to run, but thanks so much for joining us this morning on Business for Breakfast.
My pleasure.